morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Bit of a privilege to speak on a Sunday morning. This is my son, Ethan. What are you doing, mate? Daddy. Daddy. Oh, Daddy's looking up. Okay. All right. Thank you, mate. Is that done?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to pray and then we'll start talking. Father, I thank you that we can come into your presence this morning. Lord, it's such a privilege to gather with your people. It's such a privilege to be able to sing songs of praise and give you worship, give you praise. I thank you, Father, that when we are gathered together, that your presence here intensifies and that we can open our hearts to you and meet with you. And I pray, Lord, that as we read your word this morning, as we discuss, Father, who you are and where you are in our lives, that, Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts, that you would reveal things to us, that you would show us things that maybe we've been ignoring, maybe we've, Lord, just haven't seen before. And Lord, I pray that there would be a greater sense of freedom of your spirit in our lives, because, Father, we want to be open vessels that are used of you. Even though we are broken, Lord, with you, God, we are whole. So, Father, we just commit this time to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You'll have to excuse my throat. I've been fighting this silly cold thing all week, and it hasn't gone away, which I'm not impressed about at all. But hopefully I don't have a coughing fit in the middle. So I don't know whether you saw Simon's Facebook bit, and it was unconditional. Anytime, anywhere, anyone. And as I was praying and sort of seeking God on what to talk about this morning, I just felt that I needed to focus on God's mercy. So often we talk about God's grace, and God's grace is amazing for the fact that he loves us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for us, and that he's given us this free gift of salvation. Nothing on our merit, nothing that we've done to deserve it, just purely because he loves us so much. And I believe that we talk about that a lot because it's so significant. It's his grace that takes us from darkness into light. It's that breaks the bondages that the enemy has placed around our lives. But then I think the next step is acknowledging God's mercy, his unconditional help. I don't know about you, but I find myself working out of my flesh majority of the time. But that's not why we were saved. We were saved so we weren't bound by our flesh, that we could live out of our spirits, because out of our spirit there is freedom, there is liberty. We aren't held back by our old nature when we live out of our spirit. But I find myself all the time doing things on my own, trying to fix things on my own, trying to resolve things, trying to overcome things, and out of my own strength. And then when I come back to God's word, it continually reminds me that I'm not actually meant to do that. I'm not meant to try and do things on my own. I'm not meant to resolve relational problems on my own. I'm not meant to walk in and deal with a chaotic situation on my own. That's not how God designed us to live on our own. He designed us to be in relationship with him. He designed us to be close to him. And I am so grateful that when Jesus left the earth, because he could only be in one place at one time, but he said, I'm going to go so another can come. And I want to turn to that scripture. John 14, if you've got... Don't turn to it, because I want to read it from the Amplified version, and I meant to bring my Amplified Bible and I forgot it. So if you've got an Amplified Bible right there, you can open it. But I might get someone else to read it. Who would like to read it?
Yeah,
right. Go on, Yuli. So it's just sorry. No. So just that right through to 26. So I've got that's there, and then yeah.
John 14, 16, 17, and 26. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter,
in brackets, counsellor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its...
read the little... that's why I got it. So that's the amplified bit, the extra bits.
Oh, I don't think I've read an amplified before. Yeah. so in brackets, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognise him, but you know and recognise him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, the Counsellor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in brackets, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, in brackets, will remind you of, bring your remembrance, everything I have told you.
Excellent. I like the Amplified Version, just because sometimes I think the Word of God gets a little bit lost in translation, especially with the English language. And I just love the fact that with the Amplified Version, it makes you think deeper about a particular topic. And here, the Holy Spirit isn't just, like, in this particular version, he's called the Comforter. But then in brackets, he's called the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, and the Standby. To me, that just opens up such a greater understanding of who this Holy Spirit is to us and how he's meant to function in our lives. And God has shown me over the last little while that it doesn't matter where you're at, what state you're in, his Holy Spirit is there 100%. And some of you guys know Simon and my story a little bit from the fact that we were established in a large functioning church out in the Swan Valley, and then we went to Sydney to take on a small church, and it just all... in our eyes, that's what happened. It went down the toilet, in a sense. All fell apart. Didn't quite come. The dream of replanting that church and seeing a new church birth didn't happen. And we ended up sort of in a no man's land. But in that, we got to a place where we didn't really... We just felt so lost. For me, I got to a point where it's like, I don't know whether I know you, God. I don't know whether, the God that I believed in and the God that I had faith in when I was stepping out, leaving Perth and going to Sydney, I'm not sure whether that's the same God. Like, I just got to a place where I was really quite lost, and I was like, I don't know how to trust in you, and I'm not sure whether I love you, which is really huge to think that you get to a place where I was just so lost, I was so confused, because we'd stepped out in faith and we believed all for all these things and trusted God with it all. And then I literally sort of had to start putting the pieces back together. And God is so amazing that he seemed to position certain things at certain times when we were ready to hear it. And we even took one thing we never stopped doing in our crisis and meltdown was we never stopped going to church. We knew that church was our lifeline, and we never stopped going. So we tried out a couple of different churches, and we'd go visit different ones in the city and stuff like that. And this one morning, we rocked up at Hillsong in the city there, and Ashley Evans, of all people, was visiting from Paradise down in Adelaide. And is that the right name, Paradise? Yep. And... he spoke on this amazing message about being hurt and taking offence and then letting God's worship wash over that and bring that with worship, you get rid of the stench of what's gone on, you know. And he talked about, you know, in the Old Testament, talks about how the priests would burn incense because they would bring their offerings and they'd burn them on the altar, and sometimes they didn't smell real good, you know. Especially, you know, a cow with all its fur. Yeah, you know, have you ever singed your hair? It's a disgusting smell. And so they'd burn these incense, and they would give praise to God and the incense would fill the temple. And it's actually talked about, you know, when we praise God and we open our hearts and we worship him, what we're doing is we're allowing that incense to fill our temples, our very beings. And it takes away that stench of the sacrifice. So no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what you've laid down, God wants to bring that fresh aroma of his incense, of his presence in our lives. And it was just at the right timing for us. We'd got to a place where we were like, okay, we've got to stop looking backwards, because we kept looking backwards, we kept looking backwards. And so we started to pick up ourselves. And over time, you sort of go, well, God, I want to trust you again. I want to hear your voice again. I want to read your word and feel you speak to me. And it didn't matter that I hadn't read my Bible for months. When I actually took time to just say, please, Holy Spirit, come and meet with me. You know, he never once left me in the lurch. Not once. And I want to encourage you today that there is no problem too big and there is no problem too small for God. And he will meet you wherever you're at. He loves us. He will not despise us. He will not forsake us. He will not let us down. But if you're willing to come before him and offer what you have to him, then he will meet you. And the biggest thing that I've experienced over this last little while is when I take the time to step out and minister to someone else, pray for someone else, intercede for someone else, be kind to someone else, I find his presence intensifies. His presence becomes even more real. And I took these baby steps of going, well, I want to believe in the God that I used to believe in because he was an amazing God. And I had to rebuild that faith. And I just found it so amazing that not once did God let me down. Every time I sort of just took that little step, he met me there. And then I took another little step and he met me there. And all of a sudden, I found my faith rising. I found my trust in him being built. I found that my joy in him was starting to come back up. And all of a sudden, I could go into a place of praise where before, maybe I just couldn't go there. I was just struggling so much that even to sing a song of praise was difficult, you know. And I could read his word and go, yeah, this is the God I want to believe in. This is the God that in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. And in Psalm 39, it talks about how he knit me together in my mother's womb. You know, he's so big. He made the heavens and the earth just by speaking it out. Boom, it's there. And if you see, if you just take a little bit of, you know, time to look at the basics of how we're made up, the human body itself is ridiculously amazing. Even though he's so huge, he's so big, he's so amazing, he's so vast, yet he knows you, he knows me, inside and out. And he doesn't neglect the little things. He doesn't neglect every little individual person that he knitted together in their mother's womb. And then in Jeremiah 29, it talks about how the Lord has plans to prosper us, not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. And I started to recall those types of scriptures. I started to meditate on those types of scriptures. And again, it just started to take me to that next level of, yeah, I do serve a good God. I do have an amazing God. I find the hardest thing in our lives, or for me, is, well, actually, let me read John 3:16. I'm sure you're all very familiar with John 3:16. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. I know we all know it off by heart, but I want to read a little bit more. John 3:16. Here we are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, so to condemn you and I, but to save the world through him. I find that I'm my worst judge. I contemplate whether I'm worthy enough to receive God's help. Do you do that, or is it only me? Do you actually go, I can't ask God for that because of this? You know, I haven't read my Bible in a week. How can I step out in faith and pray for this person to be well? We judge ourselves. I judge myself. And what I find that does is it brings feelings of condemnation and worthlessness. So I look at myself and I look in the mirror and I go, well, Floss, you've really stuffed it lately. You have not been a good Christian whatsoever. And if people could see the way you're behaving right now, they would be disgusted at your self-pity party, which I have quite often, all by myself. And they would wonder whether you were a Christian or not. And it's out of those things that I meditate on that actually stops the Holy Spirit, boom, at my door. I block him out. I say, no, I'm not worthy. I am not fit to have the Holy Spirit work through me because I haven't done this. I haven't prayed for this amount of time today. I haven't worshipped you like I should worship you. My friend, she spends 3 hours every day worshipping you, praying, reading the word, meditating on your word. I haven't done that for months. So I'm not fit for your Holy Spirit to work through me. But if I read the word, it actually tells me that because of Jesus, I am fit. I might be broken. I might be slightly defective, but I'm actually fit for use. And it's in this broken vessel that I believe God's perfection can be reflected. And I think that when we admit our brokenness, when we open our hearts to God, this is me and this is where I'm at, but you're bigger than that and I'm going to trust you, because it's actually not about me, it's about your plan to save humanity, basically, isn't it? His desire that none shall perish. And that means that he doesn't desire that you and I shall perish. And he doesn't desire that the person across the road from you, or in the next cubicle at work to you, or the person that just abused you at the lights. He desires that none shall perish. And when that love hits our hearts, then our response should just be to love. Let Christ's love compel us. That should be our driving force. It shouldn't be whether I look good in someone's eyes. It shouldn't be whether this is going to look good on my resume. You know, I rocked up to church early today and I set out the chairs and I did da-da-da and, you know, I'm ticking some of the boxes and I'm feeling good about myself. No, that should never be our motivation. Our motivation should always be the love of Christ and the love of Christ for us and the love of Christ for humanity, the love of Christ that he shed his blood, he gave up it all, that none shall perish. And God really challenged me a little while ago. I was here one morning and God said to me, why have you put down your sword? Now, for me, that meant a lot. You might be thinking, what, have you put down the Bible? Yeah, that's the word of God. No, God said, why have you put down your sword? Why aren't you fighting? Because we are in a fight. We are fighting against principalities of darkness. And the way that we do that is by saying, Holy Spirit, use me today. Holy Spirit, fill me today. This broken, defective vessel, use me, take me, and let me conquer darkness as I step out my door today, as I speak to my children today, as I get on the phone today. Let me destroy the words of the enemy and bring life and bring truth. This is a broken vessel that gets it wrong majority of the time. But Holy Spirit, you are bigger than that. You are much mightier than that, and you can be my helper. You can be my counselor. I've walked into situations where I've thought, how am I going to deal with this, God? This is just way above my ability. And you know what? I walk in there and I trust the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden these words of wisdom come out, or these words of comfort come out. I'm like, wow, where did that come from? Because I was not equipped for that. And some of you know that I was a pastor at, it's now called Dream Builders Church, and I would walk into situations sometime and I think, God, I'm not qualified to deal with this mess. You know, these are people's lives that I'm having to deal with here. If I say the wrong thing, I could really do some damage. And I go, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, fill me, because I need to bring life into this situation. And sure enough, I would walk away amazed, going, how did that all turn out the way it did? Because the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit was moving, because his desire is the same as our Heavenly Father's, that none shall perish. His desire is that chains would be broken, that bondages would be smashed, that lives would be restored, that people would be taken from darkness and into light, that generational iniquities would be broken once and for all. That's his desire. But if we don't put up our hand, guess what happens? Nothing. Well, actually a lot. The enemy has free reign. And so God said to me, he gave me a picture, he said, he showed me in full battle gear. And he said, why have you put down your sword? And there was a sword laying on the ground. And he said, you've got to pick it up. And all of a sudden something changed in me as soon as I said yes. All of a sudden I was fighting again. But I wasn't fighting for me. I was fighting for my girlfriend that doesn't know Jesus yet. One day she will. The reality of hell is very real. And sometimes as Christians, I think we forget that the enemy is having his way. He doesn't have a right anymore. Jesus went into Hades and took the keys of death and hell. He does not have a right anymore. But yet people are being screwed over. People are being destroyed. Little kids are being ripped off. Jesus came that we can have life and life to the full. And not just us. Not just this beautiful little group of beautiful people that I love so much. He came for the smelly one that you don't want to talk to down the street. The dude who lives on the street because everything's fallen down around him and he can't manage to stay in a house. But he also came for the successful person that you work with or that you live across the road from or you might have dinner with regularly with. He came that darkness could be destroyed once and for all. But it takes vessels of light to push back the darkness. It takes you and I being willing to say, Holy Spirit, I need you today. Holy Spirit, strengthen me today and shine through me today. And I find that once I sort of get rid of the idea of poor me and I'm useless and I can't do anything, all of a sudden the focus comes off me and it goes on what's important. And that's sharing God's love. That's just being there for that person. It's just having that heart of, well, God, you love that person. And you might only have a 5-minute conversation with that person and never see them again, but why not have a Holy Spirit 5-minute conversation? Why not walk into your boss that day armed with the Holy Spirit on your side? You don't have to necessarily say anything profound or prophetic. It's just saying, Holy Spirit, today I want you on my side. I want you here in the midst of it, because I find a lot of the time I forget to actually say that, especially when I've had it up to here with little kids and I'm starting to lose it. But you know what? In this last week, because I've been speaking on this message, I've had to go, oh, Holy Spirit, please help me. Please help me to calm down. Please help me not to lose it today. Lord, help me to speak words of life into those around me. And it doesn't matter where you're at, what your circumstances are. God's mercy, God's help is unconditional. And it's for anywhere, anytime, for anyone. And I guarantee you that if you ask him, if you invite him, he will not let you down. James 4:2 says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Now, we might not kill physically. We might not go out and murder someone. But I tell you, sometimes my words cut like a knife, and not in a good way. Not like the word of God that divides soul and spirit. My words can be very, very damaging. And I think, how can I expect good things to come from God if I do not ask them?